Throughout human history, pretty well every culture has had its holy mountains. And most of us can rhyme off a number of these sacred sites like Mount Olympus, Mount Fuji, Machu Picchu, Kilimanjaro. In the Bible, we have Mount Sinai, where Moses is said to have received the law from God. Mount Horeb, perhaps the same place where Elijah sought refuge in the presence of the Holy One. Mount Tabor, where Jesus is said to have been transfigured. We read about that in our gospel reading just now. Sacred mountains are mysterious places where occasional glimpses of glory can be caught through the cover of clouds that conceal the glory most of the time. And when human beings climb to the tops of sacred mountains, strange things happen. We get lightheaded. After all, the air is very thin up there. We see visions and experience revelations. After all, it's an alien world up there, providing a radically different perspective. And it takes some courage to climb to the top of a sacred mountain. It can bring about a life-changing event. Each year, we read the story of the Transfiguration on the Sunday that comes just before Lent begins. It's impossible to make sense of this story if we're striving to understand exactly what happened up there on that mountain. But from a liturgical point of view and a spiritual journey point of view, it makes very good sense indeed. We are about to enter the Lenten journey. Jesus is about to embark on the journey to the cross. The Transfiguration provides for us, provides for Jesus, a moment of affirmation and profound encouragement before starting out on this exceedingly difficult journey. It even provides a foretaste of the end result, which will not be a cruel defeat in death on the cross, but rather a victory of life in spite of that cross. The Transfiguration story is actually a resurrection story, which the gospel writers have moved forward in the gospels to give us a boost of spiritual energy needed for the difficult journey ahead. The description of the transfigured Jesus is really a description of the risen Christ. And what does Jesus say to the disciples when they start their descent from the mountain? Why? Tell no one about this vision until after the chosen one has been raised from the dead. In other words, this story can't be told until later on. This story belongs with the resurrection accounts. Still, we hear the story today, and rightly so. We hear that Jesus was radiant with divine energy. We hear that Jesus is in the same league as Moses, the minister of the law, in the same league as Elijah, the minister of prophecy. So here we have a sort of divine cabinet meeting on the sacred mountain, an in-camera session of the ministers of law, prophecy, and gospel, discussing the risks and potential of the journey to an ultimate confrontation with the powers of oppression and death. Evidently, Jesus gets the nod to go ahead, and Jesus gets more than that. The vocation issued at his baptism is heard once again. The text says, "A bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, 'This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. After the mysterious event on the mountain, the gospel writers begin to talk about the formidable task, the task which is coming, which would involve struggle, suffering, and a death-defying execution. All in all, a profoundly challenging journey for Jesus, a profoundly challenging journey also for us. Thank goodness, thank God, for the boost of energy given to us today, that divine energy radiating from the person of Jesus on the mountaintop and radiating into our lives as well, sufficient energy for the journey into Lent. In the United Church of Canada, nobody much pays any attention to Transfiguration Sunday. But it's one of my favorite Sundays. And I think it should be an occasion for great celebration. And I think that we at TSB are giving it a proper celebration today with our special music and communion liturgy. This is exactly the sort of celebration that should be held before Lent begins. There are other celebrations going on, of course. Notoriously, the extravagant festivals of Mardi Gras. I think that, by and large, Mardi Gras has lost its connection with the Christian observance of Lent and has instead become a great secular celebration of hedonism. Incalculable amounts of alcoholic beverages are consumed. The traditional greasy pancakes smeared with syrup pale in comparison to the heaps of deep-fried food that is gobbled up. And the flashing of body parts better kept hidden is rewarded with countless strings of beads that are kept as trophies of the Mardi Gras bash. At one time, of course, the distribution of beads also played a role in the pre-Lenten ritual. But those were prayer beads, meant to facilitate a focus on more noble pursuits than the flashing of breasts, backsides, and genitalia. Forgive me, friends. I don't mean to be a Mardi Gras party pooper. And I do like the party that we're having today. And I may very well eat some greasy pancakes on Tuesday, but the jolt of energy that's being generated by this Transfiguration celebration of ours is going to do a whole lot more to sustain me through the 40 days of Lent in the weeks ahead. And so we prepare to embark on this year's journey through Lent. It's a journey that was originally undertaken by Jesus. And when we step into the journey, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus through challenges and suffering into abundant life. And we're going to sing an African song that sums up this journey of Jesus, which is also a journey of ours.
We are